ask for God's healing power upon him. He's been on a doctor-ordered medical leave since the middle of December, and at this point, we still are not sure when he will be back, but we are just asking God, the great physician, the healer, the one who sent his word to heal our disease, to come and touch Pastor Ken. And so, today is definitely a significant milestone. We have milestones in our lives that we look back to and say, Lord, I look back, and that was a significant moment. And maybe some of you here today, you can think of some of those times for you. This is a significant milestone, not only for Pastor Catherine and Alan, but also for you as a local church. Because this church is commissioning Reverend Catherine Pizar as a global worker of the Pentecostal Assemblies. This morning, in just a few moments, I'm going to ask for Pastor Catherine and Pastor Alan to join me here on the platform. And when couples are in ministry together, we know that the scripture says that for a man and a woman coming together in marriage, the two become one. But I believe that that goes beyond just life and love. When we are in ministry together as husband and wife, there is definitely a transference of what we do in our realm of ministry that goes over to each other. And so that oneness translates between Pastor Catherine and Pastor Alan in both of what they are doing. This morning, as you as a local church, we are going to be making some declaration to them. They're going to be making some declaration to us, because that is what is significant about this commissioning. So I'm going to ask Reverend Catherine and Reverend Alan Pizar to come and join me here on the platform. And Pastor Alan said to me as he saw me, he said, oh, a black suit. He says, this must be a memorial. Well, it is a memorial, and it's not that kind of a bad memorial. It's a good kind of memorial. Yes, that's right. Pastor Alan didn't get that text message that said, wear your black suit today. You know, folks, I believe it's fitting that Pastor Catherine is being commissioned here in her local church, because you are her family. She is part of your family. You belong to one another. And you know what? I think it's important for you to recognize that, yes, while her title is that she is a global worker with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, it is you as her family that has a role that's going to be sending her to the ministry that God has called her and that she's already been involved in. When one is being commissioned, they are declaring that they are going on behalf of the ones that are sending them. And it's the ones that are doing the commissioning. And while I'm speaking the words, we are all commissioning Pastor Catherine today and Pastor Alan. I believe that in doing that, we are saying that we are going to support you. We're going to hold you up before our God in prayer. We're going to believe with you for God to provide what may seem impossible otherwise. About a month ago, Pastor Catherine and Alan were commissioned at one of our district events, Ministers Gathering in Banff. And she was commissioned amongst her peers and her leaders, but today it's amongst her family that we are commissioning her. And today she and Alan are definitely standing in this place because they know that God has called them to this moment. In just a moment, Pastor Roberto is going to come, and he's going to be on our behalf inviting others to join us when we pray a prayer of commissioning over this couple. And we are going to make some declarations in just a moment. Pastor Catherine is going to be leaving on Thursday. I said to her on the way in that that is definitely a moment of remembrance for Cindy and I, because that's the birth date of our son, Darren. That's his birthday. She is going to be going again for 4 months. There are times that Pastor Alan is able to go with her, and there's times he's not. We know, as many of you will know this man, he has a significant ministry of giving pastoral leadership to Hope Mission here in Edmonton. Sometimes Pastor Allen is able to go with his wife over to Uganda, and sometimes he is not. That brings something of a challenge, I believe, for any couple when they have a significant moment of time. This season, right now, coming up, is going to be 4 months that they are going to be apart. We need to be holding this man and this woman up in prayer. Yes, they're able to connect by Skype. That's great. I'm glad that you can see one another. Even sometimes, I know, Pastor Catherine, we've had some meetings where you have Skyped in, and it's not always been pristine and perfect, has it been? But we appreciate that technology of Skype. But it's not the same as being together. And so as Pastor Allen is here with the ministry God has called him to with Hope Mission here in Edmonton, as Pastor Catherine is going to be going for these next 4 months to Uganda and giving leadership in the Bible college ministry that God has given to her, I believe that this has been a significant milestone for you, Pastor Catherine. I believe God trained you and designed you for this moment in time. And you are pouring into not just that Bible college and the leaders that will come from it, but you are pouring into that country beyond what anyone here on this side of the world can imagine or think. And I'm thankful for your obedience that God has taken you to that place. Hear the word of the Lord this morning from Psalm 67. This is from the mission psalm. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your ways, O God, may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. And from Matthew 9, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Folks, we know that the harvest field just is not just overseas. We know that there's a harvest field here in our own community, our own neighborhoods, in our own places of work or schools where we go to. But there are harvest fields all over the world. And I am so thankful that there are people such as Catherine Pizar who have heard the voice of the Lord and is willing to go. Dr. Catherine has responded to that call. You, as her church family, are part of those that are sending her. Before we pray and anoint this couple, I'm going to ask if you would stand. And I'm going to ask you to respond to this declaration, if it is in your heart, to covenant with Pastors Catherine and Allen. Do you, the people of New Hope Christian Assembly, covenant together with Catherine and Allen Pizar to pray for them, support them with a generous spirit, and to care for them as they serve the Lord on our behalf in Uganda? If so, respond, we do. To Pastor Allen and Pastor Catherine, do you, Reverends Catherine and Allen Pizar, covenant together with this, your church family, to represent and serve the Lord with excellence in Uganda and in his power, and to bring report to this family of all that God is and will do through the ministry that God has given you? Please respond, we do. I'm going to invite Pastor Roberto to come, and he is going to invite others and maybe say a few words of comment as well. So God bless you.
As the brothers come forward, we're going to lay our hands and pray for dear Pastor Catherine, Pastor Allen. Brothers, please come forward. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, the Apostle Paul says, but we against principalities, against the rulers of this darkness of this world, and against the spiritual witnesses in the high places. The spiritual battles must be won and must be fought with prayer. It won't be easy for Pastor Catherine to go out there in Uganda, because the enemy is going to fight. Because she will be doing, and Pastor Allen and Pastor Pizer are doing something that enemy hates. Mm-hmm. Especially when they go out and share the gospel of Christ or doing things good for people. She's going to be directing also school. But we need to, New Hope Christian Assembly, our responsibility. We need to take the responsibility into carrying this prayer burden. We need to pray for them. We need to thank God for our missionaries. These are missionaries. We need to thank God for their call and for their obedience of His leading of their hands on their life. It's not just Pastor Catherine that God has called. It's even Pastor Allen. Mm-hmm. As well, he's here and she's there. They have called them both into the ministry, both into missions, and we need to pray for that. We need to pray for them daily. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit will lead them. Yeah. And when they're out there sharing the gospel, doing the work of God, it is our responsibility, church, mm-hmm. to pray for them. They need our prayers. And I am encouraged because even we're going to be trying to Skype once a month with her as when she's in Uganda so we can see the work that's happening there and the way God is moving. And if that's not possible with Skype, she will be sending a video of a one-minute video so we can actually be in contact and see what's happening in Uganda. And we will like that.
Yeah.
We will like to have this connect. Just because she's out there doesn't mean that we cannot see what's happening. We want to be connected with our prayers and with our thoughts together. Amen?
Amen?
We want to pray for them right now. We want to just ask God to just move them upon their lives as they're just going to go out to in Uganda. Father, we pray this morning for this dear couple, O God. First of all, thank you for how they responded to your call, O Lord. Faithfully responded to your call in obedience to His leading of their lives, O Father. We thank you for Pastor Catherine, O God, as Lord, that she will be going there in Uganda this Thursday, O God, but the moment she steps her foot on that plane, O God, that your anointing will be upon her, your presence will be upon her, God. That, Lord, when she enters even to Uganda, Lord, I pray that she would take full control. Yes, there will be, O Father, spiritual battles. But, Lord, we are here to pray for them. We are here to pray for one another. And we pray right now for our dear sister, God, as when she goes to Uganda, that every time she opens her mouth to share your word, every time she has to do something, oh Lord, we ask that your guidance of the Holy Spirit will be upon her life. Protect her in the name of Jesus for any evil spirit that tries to bring her down, oh God. We pray right now against any evil spirit, right now against them. Father, I pray even for provision upon this family, oh God, upon Pastor Allen and Pastor Catherine, oh God, supernatural power, and we respond to this, oh Father. Father, we thank you for her life. We thank you, oh Father, for the way you have used her and you continue to use her, God. Yes, 4 months apart is very difficult, but Lord, we know that when we pray for one another, oh God, that we will encourage for one another. It is our responsibility to encourage. It is our responsibility to build. It is our responsibility to pray for them as a couple, oh Lord. As when Pastor Allen is here with us, oh God, worshiping the Lord, may there be thoughts that will come to his mind in loneliness. But Lord, you will fill his heart, we pray, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Father, we thank you for this couple. And we ask you, Lord, that you release a blessing upon this family, upon this couple, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord. And it's in our duty, oh God, as we can continue to pray for them daily, oh God, as they're going to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, oh Father, in Uganda, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Protect them, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, in all God's people say, amen and amen. You may be seated. As we're going to hear from God's word this morning, we want to receive the second offering. As we have mentioned, we're going to receive the second offering for Pastor Allen and for Pastor Catherine. Just Pastor, don't go away for a second. The usherettes are here. Okay, they're not here. If they're not here, we're going to do it at the end of the service. Want to do it now? Okay, when they're getting ready, we want to give an opportunity if Pastor Catherine is trying to share something before just a couple of minutes.
Well, Alan says to tell you there's revival right now, and we were in a crusade in Masaka, and so I'm getting all these updates, and I'm not sure what the full update was, but it looks like it was a really powerful time. Thank you, Lord, for what He's doing. And it's a blessing to me to see that happening without me. And usually it falls apart when I'm there. I'm not there. So to see it working within the Ugandan leadership is really exciting for me. So I really appreciate it. Please pray for me, as they've said, and I'm going to really miss you guys. It gets harder. Some people say, well, it must get easier. No, it gets harder. Every time I go, it gets harder. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for standing with me and sending me off as a global worker. And thank you for your care for me in all ways. And I'm just cherishing every moment today. Amen.
God bless you. Sister Pearl, would you lead us in prayer?
Thanks for putting me on the spot. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, this morning as we collect your offering for Sister to go, and my prayer for her is to remember always that one song, I walk with God, always, and she'll be fine. Thank you for your offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Just want to echo my wife's adoration to you. We thank you so much for your love and your support, and of course we need that. It doesn't get any easier going, but we know that God's grace is always sufficient. So I will be working hard on home missions. She's working on global missions, but we will, even though we're separated, you really aren't separated any more than Jesus was separated from the Father on the cross. You're always one, and that is comforting. And we know that we certainly cherish your prayers and continue to have that. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Just give this couple a real show of your appreciation. Pastor Catherine, I'm sorry that I do not know this, and these folks here probably do, but can you point out for us which is the Ugandan flag? That one with the bird in the center? Okay. So folks, is that a chicken? What is that? In the center. The crane. Okay. Well, listen, when we look at that flag, folks, when you enter this place, it'll be one of the touch points for you to be remembering Pastor Catherine in prayer even while she's away. Amen. Well, it is a joy for Cindy and I to be with you today, and definitely this is a milestone of acknowledgement, declaration, as we commission Pastor Catherine and the Pizars for God's future for them. This morning I'd like to speak for just a little bit about the future, your future, and what the designs are that God has for you. Sometimes we can think, well, God has designs for certain people, He's got plans for certain people, but really, what does He have for me? I want you to know He has an exact design of plans for you. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, when the Lord said through the prophet, I know that the plans that I have for you. And it is so easy for us to speak those words, but I believe we have to begin to grab a hold of them and believe them for ourselves. God says to you today, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to give you hope and a future. God has a certain design plan. He has it for the Pizars. He has it for the Angelonis. That's why He brought them here. He has that for you and I this morning. Not just those involved in career ministry. Not just those who maybe have a specific place, whether it's at Hope Mission or the church or a district office. God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. In Revelation chapter 3, and you'll see this on the screen, Jesus writes to the church of Philadelphia. He addresses the letter this way. He says, this letter is from the one who has the key of David. He opens doors and no one can shut them. He shuts doors and no one can open them. Verse 8, he says, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. Those words from Jesus are a reminder that he takes us to significant points in our life where he opens up for us a pathway into what his plans are for us. If we are willing, we will move through those doors. Verse 8 says, no one can shut God's open doors. But friends, can I tell you, I've discovered there is one who can shut God's open doors, and that's me. I can refuse to go through that place that God has called me to. I can come right to the threshold, but when I look on the other side, maybe what I see with the physical eye, the emotional eye, I do not like, and I can refuse to step through into the place that God has called me to go. Folks, there's been times in my life when I have refused to enter into that new doorway, that new season that God has planned for me. Maybe I was afraid of that new place. Maybe I was uncertain of what it was going to require of me. And I would have just as soon stayed in my place of comfort and that place that I was used to. And sometimes it can be that unknown that refuses us to say, God, okay, I don't know what's on the other side, but I trust in you. Lord, I trust that you do know what's on the other side and that you will provide for me everything that I need. I can only imagine, and while I've had some conversations with Pastor Catherine, every time she must take this trip for a certain season within the year, and there is a number of seasons throughout the year she does this, she's not always sure where the money is going to come from, but she has to trust in God. She has to say, God, I know that you're going to provide. I know that you are going to be with my husband when I am gone away from him for this season of time. Pastor Allen must pray the same way. It'd be so easy for her to have come to this doorway of opportunity that God had given her and say, no, it's too much. I can't do it. I won't do it. And she could have stayed on this side of the door and never moved through. Whenever there are seasons, it normally involves change within our lives. And change doesn't necessarily mean just a change in a geographic location. Change can be a change of doing things, a change of attitude, a change of how I respond to something, a change of doing things my way and saying, God, I'm going to do things your way. For most of us, it's easier to stay in the place where there is no change. That's why probably most of you gravitate to the same seat here in the church every Sunday. In fact, if somebody sits in your seat, you probably say, they better not do that next Sunday. I'll get here early so I get make sure that I get my seat. Change is not comfortable. Even when change is planned, it's not guaranteed to be a comfortable ride. Anyone here that is married, you understand what I'm saying. You made that change to become one with your spouse. But for most of us, or there might be a few exceptions, I'm sure that there was a little bit of difficulty as you were learning to live as one. There was the changing of laying down my selfishness, changing down what I wanted because I now belonged to another and the two became one. Even when we know that God is calling us to change, even when we know that it is His will for us to change, it can still be painful. It's not guaranteed that it's going to be, oh, just sunshine and roses. And we look outside today and we see all that snow that came. We know that change is not always easy. Several years ago, I came across this saying you'll see on the screen. I can't really remember who said it or where I found it. Otherwise, I'd give credit for it. But I can say that while it didn't originate with me, I've taken it and it now belongs. I've embraced it as truth for me. There is no growth without change. There is no change without loss. And there is no loss without pain. Every new season, every new doorway that God has brought me to, and I've moved through it into that new place, I've experienced a level of growth in my life. I've encountered change in some area. There's something that had to change, because growth always comes because there's change that's taking place. Those changes are usually resulted, most often resulted, because I had to be willing to die to something. I had to lose something. I had to give up something. We just have moved a few months ago into a new year, and probably one of the most often things that are decided upon as we enter into a new year is, I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to eat better. But you know what? When those kinds of changes, when that growth of eating better and exercising more takes place, there's usually something that has to die. I have to give up something. I have to give maybe some of that time that I would have rather just sort of sat down on the couch and maybe watched the TV. I've got to go out and go for a walk. Something had to die. Maybe what has to die is my perceived rights, that I had to give up my right to. Maybe it was giving up what I wanted. That meant my selfishness had to die. And most times there will be pain in the dying. There's going to be pain in the loss of whatever that is. But can I tell you something? And many of you have experienced this. What we gain, what we grow in, as we follow the Lord by faith in where He's calling us to make changes in, we come into a place that we found, boy, Lord, how come I didn't see that before? Lord, forgive me for not allowing myself to grow in that area before. I want you to know, again, there's no growth without change. There's no change without loss. And there's no loss without pain. If you are willing to embrace that today in your walk with the Lord and what He's calling you to do, not just in the big things of maybe a change of a career or going to a new location as Pastor Catherine has, but even in the small areas of your life, as you are willing to grow in Him, I believe that He will enlarge upon you beyond what you can imagine or think. For every one of us, there are new seasons that God is desiring us to enter. For every one of us, and maybe even this morning, you are thinking about some new areas that God has been placing upon your heart. Lord, I know You've been dealing with me on that. I know that You're calling me to make some changes, but You've not been willing. I believe that it's God's desire that every one of us make changes. You say, oh, how do you know that? Maybe God doesn't want me to change. Oh, I believe He does, because that's the way He works in our life. He always wants to transform us. Even though we've moved as a child of darkness into a child of light, it doesn't mean that we are all totally light. There's areas of darkness within us that God wants to change and He wants to correct. Paul said to the young pastor Timothy, he says to him, let everyone see your progress. I believe God says that to every one of us today. Let those around you see the progress you're making. We ought not to be the same as we were last year. Every year that we move forward, we need to be growing in our walk with the Lord. He seeks for us to grow, and that means change. So friends, today, what door has God set you in front of today? I believe the greatest roadblocks that keep us from moving into the places where God has designed for us to go are wrong mindsets, wrong thinking. Ungodly thinking that comes from maybe a presumption that we have. They come from incorrect thinking, expectations. They come from unbelief and fears. They come from maybe the harmful influence of others upon us. And then the enemy uses that wrong thinking, and he enlarges it, and he keeps us from moving forward where God wants us to go. Folks, this is why the Scripture says that we need to have our minds renewed daily, every day. Every day as I spend time with the Lord, I've got to believe that He's going to renew my thinking and allow me to change in the way that I have been thinking, because He wants to perfect more of Himself within me. That's why I need to keep in step with the Spirit. Where the Spirit is walking, I need to say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to keep in step with You. I'm going to shut the door to the enemy. I'm not going to give the enemy a foothold in my life. This morning I want to share with you three truths that I believe are going to help you to move forward into the next pathway, the next journey that God has designed for you. Before we do, let's pray and let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand. Lord Jesus, thank You that You are the truth, the living Word. And we invite You, Holy Spirit, now, even in these next few moments, to take the Word of God and make it alive into our understanding. Anything that would try to take away or diminish or steal what, Father, You want to speak to us, we say, let that be demolished now in Jesus' name. And let Your truth take a hold of me today. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first truth is this. Move past the past. Move past the past. Isaiah 43, and you see it on the screen, verses 18 and 19 says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. This is the Lord speaking. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. To forget the former things does not mean that we suddenly, all of a sudden, just forget all about everything that happened in our past. We don't devalue the things that brought us to this point. We honor and we bless those godly foundations in our lives. Whether it was a person or whether it was a circumstance, God will use those to enlarge who He is within us. We don't forget the foundations. This verse specifically says, do not dwell on the past. That's a good word. Don't dwell on the past. And I think that has meaning for us this morning. It's saying don't live in the past. We can learn from the past. The past can be an example for us, but the past cannot lead us forward. As I'm driving in my vehicle, that windshield is large, and I can glance in the rearview mirror to give me a perspective of maybe dangers around me or what is behind me, but I cannot move forward by looking in the rearview mirror. I've got to look forward and see where God is taking me. If we're not careful, we can get stuck in the past. Folks, we cannot allow what we have done or what's been done to us to keep us from moving forward. Did you hear what I said? We can't let what we have done or what has been done to us to keep us from advancing through the doorways that God is calling us into. If there is anything that will keep you from moving forward, it will usually be something from your past. Our fears, insecurities, they all come from our past. Then there's things like inner vows, areas of bondage that are often tied to an experience in the past. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 that in Christ we become a new creation. At that moment of our new birth in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within our spirit, bearing witness that we are no longer orphans, but we are now children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. But can I say to you, when Paul says the old is gone, the new has come, it doesn't mean that always the old has just vanished in the twinkling of, oh, I wish I could say it had. But it's not so. There's things of the past. It can be emotional baggage. It can be experiences that must be dealt with. We need to break off the past, whatever it might be. Break off its effect that it has on us. There's things from our past that we need to put under the authority of Jesus Christ. There's things from our past that we need to receive His healing in our thinking and in our emotions. Why? So that we can move past it. Paul Paul says in Hebrews 12, let us throw off everything that hinders. I don't think Paul would have said that. He wrote that to the believers, the Jewish believers. He would not have said that if it all of a sudden it just took place when we accepted Christ. He says, throw off those things that hinder you. And our past can hinder us from moving forward. We can get stuck there. For some of us here today, that may mean forgiving someone. Forgiving someone from your past. Oh, if your thoughts were audible this morning, some of you might be saying, well, Pastor, it's easy for you to say that. You don't know what someone did to me. You don't know the hurt that they caused me. Forgiving them does not mean that they will ask for it. Very likely they won't ask for it. Forgiving them does not mean that they deserve it. It does not mean that what they did to you was okay. And somehow by forgiving them, it just sort of wipes all of what they did away. No, it simply means that we allow that what they did no longer has control over us. And it will not happen just by simply saying, whatever, I forgive them. No, I believe it's going to need to be a conscious decision. And with the power of the Holy Spirit enabling you to bring healing to your mind and to your emotions. Folks, I've had the experience, and I cannot, it's supernatural, that when I have been diligent and I have said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I forgive so-and-so for what they did. There's just a supernatural working of God's Spirit that takes place within us. No, it doesn't mean that I never remember what they did. Oh, I still will remember, but it doesn't have that same crippling effect upon me. And every time the enemy would try to make it large within my mind, I again say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that lie. In the name of Jesus, I forgave that individual. And that thing is no longer having control or hold upon me today. Amen. Amen, yeah. Maybe in your past, folks, you have made an inner vow. Say, well, Pastor, what's an inner vow? Sometimes when something hurtful is done to us or we experience something painful in our lives, we will respond by making an inner vow. We say to ourselves, that will never happen to me again. I'll never be taken advantage of in that way again. No one is ever going to treat me like that. And while that can be our response, and it can be the emotional expression of how we feel, I want you to know when we make a vow like that, we are declaring, I'll be the Lord of my life. I will do what I believe is important. I will take control of the situation. I will never allow myself to be hurt like that. And we make an inner vow. And it removes the role of the Lord Jesus from being the Lord of our lives. I won't let that take place. An inner vow declares that I'm the one that's in charge. That's why Proverbs 3, a passage that we know so well, is so important. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. That's the opposite of making an inner vow. That's the opposite of saying, I'll be in charge of my life. Say, Lord, I trust in you. That was a painful moment, but I release that to you. And Lord, I believe that you are going to protect me. You are going to guard me. And I don't trust in myself and in my own ability to do things. I trust in you. When we make an inner vow, we need to repent of it. And sometimes, folks, it's been years later that I remembered an inner vow that I had made, and I needed to repent of it. I said, Lord, forgive me for trusting in myself. Forgive me for somehow creating myself as the Lord of my life, that I would deal with this in the future. and we say, Lord Jesus, I trust in you. You are my refuge. You are my rock. You're the place of security that I run to, and I trust in you. Notice the second part of Isaiah 43, this next verse, verse 19. It says, God is saying, I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Folks, that's God's promise to provide that for things that we can't provide ourselves. That's God's way of providing for something that everything around us would say, well, that's not going to happen. That's impossible. That's why I said there's a supernatural working of God that takes place when we put our hands, our lives in His hands. Lord, you're going to provide for me. I don't know how. In fact, someone's work against you could be so egregious and so painful that you can think, I don't know how I could forgive them. But if you'll take that step by faith, I believe God will give you the help. God will pour into you, into your mind, and into your emotions beyond what you can ever imagine or provide in your own self. Because that's God's promise. I will provide where it seems like there is no provision. I will do what will seem impossible for man to do. So through the act of forgiving, through the repenting of an inner vow, the power of God is released to work. So I believe this first thing, if you are going to unlock the future, if you are going to move through that doorway, you have got to move past the past. The second truth is this. If you're going to move through that next place that God has designed for you, you need to wake up to your new day. Wake up to your new day. I'm just going to wait for that screen because I want to read the scripture verse for you this morning. Wake up to your new day. Ephesians 5 and verse 14. Ephesians 5 and verse 14. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Folks, I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but there is a common thread that moves throughout the scripture where God is calling his people to wake up. In fact, there's numbers of places, not just in the New Testament, but even in the Old Testament, where there is a reference made to my people have fallen asleep, or we have fallen asleep. Revelation 3 is one of those places. Jesus is writing to the church of Sardis, and he says to them, wake up, strengthen what remains. Folks, there's a lulling to sleep that happens to us as believers. It causes us to almost to be acclimatized to the throb of status quo. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's kind of helpful to hear a throbbing. If I'm sometimes in the vehicle and it's late at night and I'm driving home, I have to phone Cindy and I have to, because I've got hands free on my phone, just so you know, I'm not doing anything illegal, and I have to have her talk to me. Because the throb of the engine just kind of makes me feel weary and tired. Sometimes life can be like that. The throb of the comfortableness of life, the throb of what we are used to, lulls us to sleep. And sometimes it'll be hard for us to hear the voice of the Lord. As I travel across our district from churches to churches and I meet with leaders from our churches, sometimes I find that they are not aware of the desperate condition that the world is in. The desperate condition that even the body of Christ is in today. They've fallen asleep. They've allowed the ways that things have always been to keep them from seeing the new thing that God is doing and wanting to do through them. They've allowed their comfort to sort of lull them into a place of weariness. And they are unwilling to embrace the change that God is asking from them. The work of the Holy Spirit is all about making us alert and sober. He wants us to be aware of our human weaknesses. Why? So that we'll move forward. We'll deal with those weaknesses in the power of Jesus' name and we'll move forward. The Holy Spirit wants us to be aware of the enemy's schemes. That's why Paul says, don't be deceptive. Don't be deceptive. be lulled to sleep. Know that the enemy is trying to destroy you. He moves about like a roaring lion. Be aware of his schemes. Paul's exhortation in Ephesians 5 is that we not quench the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. When Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, the literal translation is keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled. Sometimes we as Pentecostals, we've grown so comfortable and used to the message of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we treat it like it's an event rather than a lifestyle. God's plan for me is that every day I be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every day that I need to welcome Jesus the baptizer, baptize me fresh in the Holy Spirit. I believe that for every one of us, we need to recognize what God wants to do, and he wants to wake us up from our weariness. The Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is not an event. It's a lifestyle. It's a daily filling that we need. When I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, things are not going to stay the same. Living in the Holy Spirit, he keeps me aligned with the truth of God. He's continuing to lead me forward into the truth of God. And even those things that I've been kind of dull to, if I say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me the truths that I need to know, the Holy Spirit will begin to awaken me. Lead me in those areas where I need change, where I need to be transformed. And sometimes, you know, folks, Cindy and I have found that probably in the last 5 years, we've been changing more than we did before that. And sometimes I've had this thought, Lord, here I am, 61. How come I've not learned that before? You ever been that place? Well, maybe not that you're 61, but you understand what I'm saying. You know what? Until I take my last breath, I need to keep changing. From the moment that I receive Christ and that transformation takes place where the new has come and the old is gone, I need to keep changing because the old still has a way of being there and I need to deal with it on a daily basis. And never come to the end of what God wants to teach me. God is wanting to wake you and I up to a new day. We've got to submit to the work of the Holy Spirit to wake us from our slumber. Finally, this final truth, these are not the only truths, but they're the three that I'm dealing with this morning. The truth that will help you to move into the next phase that God has for you is this. Expect the Lord to come into your world. Expect the Lord to come into your world. Notice what Jesus says in Luke 21 and verse 28. He says this to his followers, that they need to expect his return. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. I'm not saying that it's just probably in the last decade, probably for the last 50 years, there seems that amongst both the Christians and those who are not yet Christians, there's a fascination about the end times. We have books on it, we have movies about it. In fact, for some, it's become a real infatuation. The only thing they listen to or the only thing they read are things about the end times. Now, I'm not opposed to knowing what the Word of God, in fact, the Word of God says that be aware, know what is going to take place in the last days. But sometimes, folks, I wonder if we can be so focused on what will happen that we miss what God is doing here and now. There's some people that all they're doing is looking for what God is going to do. Revival is always coming. The miracle is always up ahead. And the problem is we can be looking for the big things that we miss out on the little day-to-day things that God is and wants to do within our lives. We must not miss what he's doing here and now. Many Jewish leaders in Jesus' day were looking for the coming Messiah. They were looking for the entrance of the kingdom of God. And you know what kind of kingdom they were looking for. They were looking for that physical, tangible kingdom where the Roman government would be pushed away and out. And God would usher in his own government. Jesus said to those leaders of the church, the kingdom of God is right in front of you. And he was speaking of himself. He was speaking that God's kingdom begins the moment we come into relationship with Jesus Christ. And we say, Lord, let your kingdom come here in my situation just as it is in heaven. It's not going to be because of the overthrow of governments. All of a sudden, God's kingdom isn't going to come because we have a change of government here in Alberta, a change in government in Canada, or in countries around us. God's kingdom begins through the transformation of human hearts, where I lay down my rights and I say, God, I deny myself, I take up my cross, and I follow you. When Jesus says in Luke 21, stand up and lift up your heads, I believe it's his call for us to be filled with expectation. He wants to call us to a place where we are passionately seeking after God to come into our own world and into our own situations. In Ephesians 2, the scripture says this, because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. And then notice this, and God raised up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms. I know for a long time I used to read that passage and I think, oh, heavenly realms. That's for when we all get to heaven. What a place of rejoicing that will be. Oh, I believe it will be. But I believe that heavenly realms today exist because I'm seated with Christ today in heavenly realms. It's not just for when I get to heaven. It's here and now. The moment that I say, God, let your kingdom come into my situation. So stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Expect for him to come. Look for him to come. Anticipate for him to come. God wants to do what we cannot do. So lift up your heads and be filled with expectation. The Alberta Northwest Territories district mission is this, and you've heard me say this before, calling forth PAOC leaders to create a spirit-led, courageous, healthy church movement. Calling forth. There's something prophetic in that. And I believe this morning I am here to call you forth. Oh, I'm here to call you forth as a church, but I'm here to call you forth as an individual. Because I believe that God has greater things planned for you. I know he's got greater things planned for you. And I'm calling you forth. Be led by the Spirit of God. Don't allow your human spirit to overtake and rule out what God wants to do within you. Be courageous. It's going to take hard work to be courageous. Because courageous means that, Lord, I believe that when I release my life into your hands, even though it takes away maybe my rights, I know that you've got my best interest in mind. He wants to call you forth to be healthy. Healthy in your emotions. Healthy in your mind. Healthy in your thinking and your passions. And every aspect of our soul life. He wants the Spirit of God to lead us in those areas. Not every place that God is going to call us to move into is going to be a comfortable place. Not every place is going to be easy. Oh, I know that if you've not already heard some of Pastor Catherine's stories, she will tell you some of those stories. Not every place she has moved into since she's come and worked in Uganda has been easy or comfortable. I believe that God is enabling her, and the same God that enables her is here to enable you. Would you bow your heads and ask for every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed? I'm doing that this morning because I want these next few moments to be very private for you. I want you to be able to, even though you're listening to my voice, you're going to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. For some of you here this morning, I believe you've allowed the past to keep you from moving forward. And you keep looking in the rearview mirror. There's not a day that goes by that you don't remember what someone did to you. And you want to forgive them, but you can't. I believe that God is here today and He wants to help you to move past the past. Some of you have made an inner vow, and maybe before you'd never even understood what an inner vow was, but right now the Holy Spirit is bringing back to your remembrance that moment in your life where you made that declaration that no one would do that to you again. But in that moment, you took away the authority, the lordship of Jesus Christ, and you declared that you would do it. I believe that God wants to help you to move past that, and I want to help you this morning, and I want to lead you in some prayer that will allow you to do that. I believe there's others here this morning, you've become so comfortable in where you're at that you've not been willing to grow and move into the places that you know that God is calling you to move into. In essence, it's like you've fallen asleep. This morning, I want to call you forth to lift up your head. I want to encourage you to begin to rise your eyes so that you see Jesus and look with Him not just as a place of significance in your life, but the expectation that He is going to do what you cannot do in yourself. And heads are bowed this morning, eyes are closed. And maybe I've described you in the last few moments in some area. I'm not asking you to come forward. I simply want for you to make a point of connection that you've heard from the Lord this morning. And if that's you this morning, if you know that there is an area of your past that you must deal with, if there's an area of your present that you must deal with, I'm going to ask you just to simply quickly raise your hand as an yes, God bless you this morning. Point of an acknowledgement, yes, God bless you this morning. Anyone else? Thank you. Yes, God bless you. You know what, folks, by you raising your hand, what you're doing is you're saying, God, I hear you, and I'm reaching out and I'm taking a hold of your hand. Thank you for those of you that have responded this morning. Just going to wait just a moment longer. Not going to wait. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. For those of you that raised your hand, I want to pray right now for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you that, Lord, you've come to bear our burdens. On the cross, you bore all of our sins, the sins of the world. That's not just our own personal sins, but that's the sins that were done to us. And so I pray for every person right now that is struggling with moving past their past. Lord, if it's an area of forgiveness, right now in the name of Jesus, as they declare, even quietly to themselves, in the name of Jesus, I forgive. And they name that person. They say, I no longer will hold that instance against them. And right now, I pray for the power of Holy Spirit just to rush into them like a living water, a living river, flushing away the pain, flushing away the shame and the guilt that they've endured. I pray right now, Lord, that you'd release upon them your authority. Lord, may they begin to get a glimpse that even in that painful moment, you were walking beside them. You had not left them. And God, you're with them now to release them from the pain of this past. And Lord, if there are those this morning that they recognize that they have made an inner vow at some point in their life, and maybe this is the first time they've remembered it in years, I pray right now as they repent of taking the lordship of their life into their own hands, and they say, Lord, forgive me. I repent of making that vow. And right now, Lord, I declare that you are the Lord of my life. You are my protector. You are my refuge. And Lord, there is nothing that I will go through that, Lord, you will not be with me and you will care for me. And Lord, as they speak those words right now, I pray again for the power of the Holy Spirit just to flood into them with such a powerful exuberance of your pleasure upon them. And Lord, for those that have become tired. Maybe for some it's a tiredness in well-doing. Maybe it's a tiredness because, Lord, they've become comfortable. But Lord, they know that you are calling them to take a step through the door that you've placed in front of them. And they know that at this moment they've held themselves back from moving through that door. I ask that right now, Lord, as they repent of being the blockage for what you want to do, that, Lord, you'll begin to pour into them with such resources of your Spirit. Lord, where they need to make changes, and there may be even pain in making those changes, I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come into their life and bring the transformation, bring the change that they need to make. Thank you, Lord, that you have designed growth for us. You've designed for us to be people who are transformed by the power of God. And so, Lord, I pray that this church would become filled with those kinds of testimonies. And Lord, from in the weeks that come, we are going to hear those testimonies that says, look what the Lord has done. So, Lord, we ask that you would help us to lift up our heads and we look to you with expectation. I pray your blessing upon this church. I pray your blessing upon the pastor and the leadership. And Lord, as we move forward as the people of God, we say, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in the realms that we influence, just as it is in heaven. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Would you come, Pastor, and close the service this morning?
Words to the message this morning really worked in the through the Pastor Dave, and through Pastor Dave, and he really, really encouraged us through the Word this morning. So, thank you, Pastor Dave, for the challenge that you give us to us this morning. Were you blessed this morning? Amen. Let's just close with the benediction this morning, as we want to also greet them at the end of the service. We want to greet them at the end of the service and just, you know, give them a nice hug and a handshake and say thank you for coming, really blessing us through the Word of God. Mr. Cindy, thank you for coming on out with us this morning and being part of the service this morning. Also, we want to greet and continue, and we want to greet Pastor Catherine as she'll be leaving this Thursday. So we want to just to greet them and say that may the Lord be with them, and that we're going to pray for them. And before we want to conclude this morning with a benediction, is there's also this last thing that there was a sign-up sheet. So just please sign up sheet for the Cheryl and Curtis B. So just come and see it. It's going to be on the table in the front. So may the Lord bless you and keep the Lord and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift you up in his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. Hope to see you next Sunday.